I've probably stumped Dave Schluter too. Though, Dave, you're not eligible. I'm sorry, my friend. Thanks for calling today. How you doing, buddy?
Good. Yeah, I heard the disclaimer.
Yeah, you're well, yeah, all guests are not not eligible.
You want me to tee up the question, or do you want to?
No, no. I think we're good. Oh, your question. I thought you meant the question of the day. No, I'll tee it up for you. That's my job. I'll do my job as host. You do your job as guest, Dave Schluter. You wanted to talk, and I think this is so important, and I have this question all the time when we talk about estate planning. So you write a will, or you have a trust. Where the heck do you put this thing, and who do you tell where it is?
Yeah, what happens is when the second spouse, if it's a couple or if it's a single person and that person takes ill, I get the call from usually the point guard in the family of the next generation, or if they don't have children, it's the point guard who the people trusted enough to name them in my documents. And they often say, and the lawyers who may be out driving on the Kennedy are going to say, he's exactly right. They say, we can't find anything. And it's awkward. They're under a lot of tension because someone has multiple doctor's appointments going on. We protect ourselves as lawyers to have a letter go with the documents that say, you have all the originals enclosed, please find. And again, it's usually out of just not looking hard enough, but safety deposit boxes were the old school way to do that. You'd pay money every year.
Hard to find those now, Dave. Hard to find them.
Hard to find, but also one of the biggest misunderstandings is if someone who's the backup is handed a key while the person is alive, they think they're all set. So they remember, they leave themselves a note on their phone where the key is. The person passes away or ends up being disabled and can't communicate or travel anymore, and they go into the bank, and the clerk says, we appreciate your efforts and your willingness to help, but you are not in the account records. And that is something probably the last 20 years that the banks do. There's a logbook, just like a hotel register book, that has to be signed by the person who's going to be serving and also the customer. So having a key, I've had this call 500 times in my, it'll be 40 years next year, where they're just left the bank and they're mad and they said, I know I'm the person, but they won't let me in. And so it gets to be quite awkward. And so what you definitely want to do, everybody who has papers at a safe deposit box, and they're fine, but you got to bring the person in with you and have them get in the logbook and not just leave a key. Another place to do it, there are document boxes that are sold at Staples or the old Office Depot type store and Sam's Club. Those are okay. They're pretty much bomb-proof and fireproof and waterproof. But a big recommendation that I give is don't get one with a combination, because people think, oh, I told Marge, you know, where it is. She's my sister. And it can't be found. Now, I actually had to physically break one open with a rented sledgehammer one time in my parking lot, John. You would have liked to enjoy that.
I want to see that, yeah.
5 minutes. Yes, but if you get one with a key, you can leave the key. They come with two. You can leave the key in there, even put a little scotch tape over there. Now, you don't put it on your coffee table. You tell the person it's in the winter coat closet on the right with another coat and sweater over it for random robberies or whatever. But basically, the second key then is usually hung on a nail or something like that, or at a different location, as long as the people communicate with the person in charge that they have the second key. Just in case a cat or a dog knocked it off there, they don't want to have to, again, get the sledgehammer.
Dave, so, this all sounds crazy. I mean, we're leaving keys on nails and sledgehammers. What should we do? Tell me what I'm doing with my trust.
Your trust is in somewhere safe. And so where it can't be burned or have floods or fire, think of all the people, John, out in California when all those storms, or think of Florida. And if they didn't have it in a fireproof or floodproof box, it's a big mess to replace everything, if they even remember who did it. And again, the issue with the banks are that you definitely have to be on that safe deposit account if you're the backup person.
So I need to tell people where it is, though. That's key, too.
Oh, yeah. And then the other thing is, you really want to realize that a lot of these calls are not after funerals, but where, let's say, mom is already gone, and then dad has been rushed to the hospital. Things like the medical power of attorney and all those to say who's going to be in charge now that mom is gone, they will not deal with you just because you're a well-intended person. There gets to be family fights where somebody says, I'm sure it was me. It gets very awkward for the hospitals. They really don't like to get in the middle. But you can imagine the emotions of trying to do what's best. But if there's conflicting desires, how long should the person be extended in their care? What kind of meds? What kind of procedures? You got to have those. And you know I sell a lot of them. I'm always pushing it. The medical power of attorney identifies not only the person who's in charge when things go south, but what the guidelines are that they follow. The current Illinois Bar Association form has levels of power that you can give that vary based on your wishes about just how much should be done. Is it the doctor and the agent who makes the call, or is it just the agent where the agent says, what would my aunt have wanted? There's all those choices. There's organ donation, all kinds of things that are in that document.
Right.
Which they're just not going to let you make those because you have good intentions.
Why can't we make this digital? I know they need to be originals. I know that's old school. But can't these be notarized by the state and the county somewhere and they are kept for safekeeping digitally? I mean, that just seems like the smartest thing to do these days.
Well, the problem with that would be that if their person changes their mind, and let's say the Daily Center became that depository, okay? If the person were never told that that was uploaded there, it's a big mess.
True.
And and the other thing is just the privacy aspect. If you go public in any kind of central storage, that could all be really abused. So the old school, the safe deposit box. And let me tell you about when you do lose the originals for real.
Well, now I got to go, Dave. I'm sorry.
We'll talk next time. When you lose the originals.
That's a good thing. Can you come on later this week, Dave, for like a minute or two?
Yeah, no problem.
All right.
Talk about what do you do when you really, really, really can't find the originals. Thank you so much, John.
Yeah, you're the best. WGNattorney.com. That's a good tease. 630-285-5300. WGNattorney.com.